This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. We are pleased to have Candy Cushman with us on the program. Candy is Education Analyst for Focus on the Family's Public Policy Department. She is a leading national expert on issues affecting public and private education, including school choice and homeschool initiatives, sexual agendas in public schools, and censorship of students who seek to live out their faith at school. Candy created the True Tolerance Initiative for Focus on the Family, which is an online resource tool to help equip parents and students to engage their school officials and to stand up for their constitutional rights at school. We're going to be talking with Candy today about some of the challenges students of faith and particularly Christian students face in schools across our nation and how the True Tolerance website can arm students and parents to respond to these challenges. Candy, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you with us.
It's wonderful to be with you. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate your time and your great work at Focus on the Family. Now, Candy, hostility toward Christian students appears to be ever increasing across our country. One recent example involved a high school student in California who merely mentioned God in his graduation speech. Tell us about that case.
Boy, this student is really just an inspiration. What happened was he found out that he had the honor of being the class salutatorian for his graduation this summer. And so he submitted his speech, which had references to how his faith, his biblical faith, his Christianity had helped him succeed. And he submitted three versions of the speech, and each one, the Christian references, most of them were edited out. And in fact, one of those even had a black marker, a black pen marking out the Christian references. And so then he just kept trying, and then maybe about 4 hours before the graduation ceremony, he submitted one final speech, and he hadn't heard anything back, so he got up, and what he did was he used that as an opportunity to talk to his classmates about sometimes you have to stand up for what's right, even if there's a lot of pressure to give in. So he stood up for his rights in a really gracious manner, and in fact, we've got a link to the video of him speaking in our free student guide for one of our student initiatives, Bring Your Bible to School Day, and I really encourage people to listen to his speech. Because on one hand, you have this disturbing trend of these increasing incidents of students having their most basic rights, incorrectly infringed upon or being censored, and that's just not right. But on the other hand, you have this encouraging trend of students like Brooks Hamby, the student, standing up and being courageous and using it as an example to speak to their other peers. So that's kind of gives you an idea of what's happening all across the land.
Well, it's encouraging that we have young and old folks alike that are willing to stand for their faith. And really, I think, as you sort of mentioned, sometimes we are called to be tested by fire, and that oftentimes brings out the best in people and is such an example for others and an encouragement. There have also been some recent incidents with schools banning students from bringing their Bibles to class. Tell us about those cases, and do you see this as a growing trend?
Yes, you know, you wish these cases like this high school student we just talked about were isolated incidents, but they're not. We keep seeing them every other week, it seems like, in the news. One example is this fifth grade student, I think it was in Florida, had received a Bible as a gift from his church, and it became one of his favorite things to read. It was really a cherished possession. So he, on his own free will, brought it to school, and there was a free reading period, and he took it out to read. And he was basically getting chastised for doing this. And finally, he went to his father because, even though he's only in fifth grade, he just had a sense that something's wrong here. So he went to his dad, and his dad told him, tell you what, next time that happens, ask your teacher to call me. Just respectfully ask her to give me a call. So it happened again. I think the way the legal institute representing him and his dad explained it was that he had got the Bible out again, and his teacher said, what is that book that you're reading? And he kind of had to hold it up like it's something bad, and show her. And eventually, he did tell her, you need to call my dad about this. And so he went up to her desk in front of the whole room And she made this call in front of all his peers and basically left a message saying that those books, in other words, those religious books, weren't allowed in her classroom. Thank the Lord for people like this, the student and his dad. They stood up for their rights, and the school ended up backing down and letting him read his Bible during the free reading period. It's not just one incident. There was a similar incident with an 8-year-old in Detroit that was basically the same thing happened to him. Just very young kids this is happening to.
Well, as you say, these children who do this, these students, are such a great example to us and to many adults as well, that they're willing to take a stand for their faith, to take their Bible to school, to potentially face ridicule, not only from fellow students, but from teachers and school administrators. But it is absolutely their constitutionally protected right to do so. Now, Candy, in addition to censorship of religious expression at schools, Christian students are also being bombarded on a daily basis by controversial sexual issues in the classroom. What are some things that parents need to know about the radical sexual agenda that is permeating many of our public and even our private schools today?
Well, it seems like we've been talking for a while now about the fact that often in our schools, in our public schools, the topics of sexuality and marriage are being brought up and promoted in a way, it's a one-sided manner, and too often it's in a way that is just openly ridiculing of students of faith, Christian students that have a biblical viewpoint, and even censoring or just marginalizing students that choose to follow the Bible about, with regard to their sexuality and guidance on sexuality and marriage. And so we have put out tools both for students and parents to navigate this, and one of the parent tools we have is TrueTolerance.org that talks about parental rights to be able to help protect their children and help navigate trying to get the school to respect their family's values as well. But I will just mention that we're seeing this move beyond these issues of same-sex marriage and homosexuality being promoted into now, way beyond that, into just gender confusion and promotion of the idea of transgenderism or cross-dressing behaviors. And it just almost seems like a kind of brave new world that we're in now, with the whole idea of male and female being completely redefined, whether parents know about it or agree about it or whether it's against their will or not.
Well, we're certainly seeing those types of things here in North Carolina, and I know that often these controversial sexual topics are being presented in schools in the name of safety or anti-bullying. How is this bullying issue being used to promote homosexuality and other similar lifestyles?
Well, and there are some good anti-bullying, bullying prevention programs out there, but what parents need to be alert for is that a lot of times these so-called tolerance, family diversity, anti-bullying programs do include components that address homosexuality and transgenderism and basically bring in normalization and celebration of it. And I guess the disturbing thing about that is that when you categorize that teaching as anti-bullying or tolerance, all of a sudden this can be brought up a lot of times in any class or any assembly that parents don't know about, and that's really hard for parents to stay on top of. Because in the past, a lot of times these topics were only brought up in health class, sex education, and usually there's opt-out rights where parents can opt their children out of controversial teaching if they want to when it comes to sex education or health teaching on these topics. But now, most of the time, a lot of times there's not opt-out rights for general things like tolerance and anti-bullying teaching that can be brought up in any class or any assembly. And that's why I think it's more likely to undermine parental rights, the rights of parents who want to remain involved and direct when, how, and if their children are exposed to these controversial and very sensitive topics.
Well, I know one of the great resources on TrueTolerance.org is a list of what you refer to as red flags to help parents identify potential problems at their child's school. Give us an example of a few of these red flags that you've identified.
Absolutely. A really easy way to get started, because I know parents can feel a little intimidated about how do I research this huge school district. So just a real easy bite-sized way to get started is just go to your school district's website. A good place to start is a lot of school district websites have something similar to a curriculum and instruction category. A lot of times this will be under the department's heading. And just start entering some keywords, and we call them keyword indicators or buzzwords, to help alert you to whether there are some programs that may be dealing with controversial topics that you need to start asking questions about. So some suggested buzzwords to put in there is like family diversity. I would go ahead and put anti-bullying tolerance in there. Now, gender identity is something that a lot of this transgenderism teaching might come under. So gender identity, we're seeing some of these topics come up under safe schools. So again, that's family diversity, anti-bullying, tolerance, safe schools, gender identity. I would also recommend that parents spend a little time on the online school library catalog. Most schools have their library catalog online. And what parents need to realize is that technically the library is supposed to reflect the broader school curriculum. This is a place that teachers can go to draw from the library to supplement lesson plans. So if you start entering these keywords in and you see a lot of concerning books coming up that might be conflicting with your family's values, then you have the right to start asking questions and ask how these materials are being used in the classroom and can you look at lesson plans and that sort of thing.
Well, that's great advice. I also know that TrueTolerance.org offers a sample parental rights policy that's aimed at helping parents combat the one-sided promotion of homosexuality in schools, and I expect that we're going to be seeing more and more of this as marriage laws are overturned across our nation. We certainly anticipate that the schools are going to be very much an active field for the promotion of homosexuality and alternative sexual behaviors. Describe, if you would, Candy, this policy and why it is important.
Well, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. But what is happening in your state regarding marriage, it's absolutely a key time for parents to be proactive. Don't wait for bad things to come in your school because it's so much harder to get them out once they're in there. It's much more of a harder battle. It's good to be proactive and put up some safeguards for parents in your family now. And so we've given you some tools for that on TrueTolerance.org. And I would encourage them to just start with the Parents' Bill of Rights, where you can go through and see some basic rights that your school should be respecting. And if you feel like you're not seeing that in your school policies, then I would encourage you to sit down with some school board members, school officials, and ask them how you might be able to work with them to get these components in their policies and for parental rights and parental involvement to be more included and more reflected. And as you mentioned, we have a tool for that. You can give them a model parental rights policy. And that way you're not just coming with a complaint. You're offering them a resource, something positive that they can do to increase parental involvement. And this policy has been carefully crafted and researched by attorneys at the Alliance Defending Freedom. And so basically what this policy does is, first of all, it requires public schools to notify parents about potentially sensitive subject matter that might be taught, and then give them the opportunity to opt their child out of those lessons. And kind of the way that it accomplished this, just to give a real quick summary, is that it would require schools to notify parents about instruction that falls under what they call a notification issues category. And this would include instruction about sex education, contraceptives, human sexuality, even graphic depictions of violence. So basically, you would be notified about that and given a chance to opt your child out. And so there's other protections as well in the model policy, but that's the most key component that I would just highlight quickly for you.
Well, we are really appreciative of you all putting that together. It is just critically important that parents get involved, that they are engaged, that they do research, and that they utilize this great resource that you all have provided that covers so many different important issues. Candy, give us again, if you would, that website for True Tolerance, and we just want to thank you so much for your time today with us.
Yes, thank you so much also for what you're doing to equip families in your state. I know that your organization is doing such key work there. I'll just give out two websites here for the parental rights resources that I mentioned. Go to TrueTolerance.org. And then for students' rights, we have a teen website, dayofdialogue.com. And there's a lot of teen-friendly articles about what it means to be, why male and female is important, God's design for sexuality, how to address bullying as a Christian student. And so if you want to go on that website that's for students, dayofdialogue.com, and maybe just look at some articles that might help you discuss these issues with your students. That's a great resource as well.
Excellent. Well, Candy Cushman, thank you so much for being with us this week on Family Policy Matters and for your great work at Focus on the Family, and God bless you.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0101. 800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.